from Matthew, and this is the story of Peter. And after the resurrection, and they see Jesus coming out on the water, and so Peter gets this crazy idea that maybe he can walk on the water too. So it's Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, and after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And so during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "then tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So, lesson on fear. And then Romans 8:37. Just these words. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Halloween, of course, is a time for disguises, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, kids dress up as goblins and witches around here. We try to get them to dress up in positive ways and happy ways and not such scary ways, and certainly avoiding occultic type figures. But we have fears in our own lives, and it's not witches and goblins. It's financial things. It's employment issues. It's relationships and family and church and business. We have our own fears, and especially when it comes to the subject of money. Money is an emotional topic, isn't it? I mean, we see scenes. Nobody in our congregation that I know of has won the lottery, but you see scenes on TV of people winning the lottery, and how do they feel? They're happy. They're free. That job that they really didn't like so much, they're free of it. You know, the mortgage that they weren't able to pay maybe, well, now they're free. They can even upgrade their home. They can upgrade their car. And time of jubilation and happiness. But on the other hand, money can bring with it worries and fears. And it can bring strife. Well, I mean, you might have a great relationship. Throw money into the middle of it. Even winning the lottery. Suddenly, there seems to be conflict. And so everybody's looking for a way to find a bargain to save money these days. And there's the old story, I've told it here, of a policeman who went to get his hair cut. And the barber said, "You know what?" He went to pay, and he said, "This one's on me." He said, "You policemen, you know, you give so much, you men in blue, to our society, and you help us so much. This one's on me, no charge." And so the policeman said, "Well, thank you." And the next morning, the barber got to work, and he found a dozen donuts in a box at his doorstep as a thank you. And so he's given a haircut to this florist, and he says to the florist when it's time to pay, he says, "You know, tell you what, you do so much for our community. Flowers brighten people's lives and bring such joy and happiness. This one's on me. You don't need to pay." So the florist said, "Thank you." And the next morning, there's a dozen roses at the doorstep of the barber. Have you heard this one? You know where I'm going? So then the pastor comes, gets his hair cut, cuts his hair, comes time to pay, and he says, "You know, you men of the cloth, you do so much for our community. This is on me, no charge." And the next morning, there were a dozen pastors at the doorstep of the barber. So I feel like I'm qualified at least to talk about how to save money, how to find a bargain. But money is an emotional topic, and fear seems to be the prevailing emotion, and especially recently in our country. This has got to be the year of fear. and especially with regard to money. And even in, and so then you think, well, thank God we've got the church, a refuge, it says in Psalms. God is our refuge, and church is hopefully our refuge, where we can come and be reassured that God is still on the throne in heaven, and we have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. And yet in many churches, people are still freaking out just as outside the church. And people of faith are succumbing to fear and panic and making decisions based on fear. We heard just a couple of weeks ago, Crystal Cathedral, which has been having difficulty for about 10 years now. The problem is succession from Robert Schuller to who? And they've had a few false attempts at succession or difficult attempts. And now, just in recent weeks, have filed for bankruptcy protection against their creditors. And so even in the church, we're having economic difficulties, and that's to be expected. But fear, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So how can we be more than conquerors? How can we overcome our fears that are related to money and finances? And I think Scripture is our guide. Our natural inclination, however, is to play it safe, right? When we run into difficulties, we get cautious. And there's something about that that's healthy, but there's something about it that can become paralyzing also when we play it safe. And God's answer often to his people is to take risks, even in the face of difficulty and circumstances that would otherwise cause you to fear and be worried and be afraid. And God says, step out in faith. Like Peter in the boat. And Jesus is walking on the water, and they're afraid. They think it's a ghost, right? So they think it's Halloween, and there's a ghost coming, and they're all afraid. And so then they say, oh, it's Jesus. And then their fear is gone. No fear anymore. And so what does Peter do? He says, hey, how about if I get out and walk with you? And Jesus said, come ahead. Hop out of the boat. Take a risk. Walk on water. And Peter does it. And no sooner does it, he sees the wind and he hears it, feels it, and he goes, whoa, I don't know if this was such a good idea. Pfft, down he goes. He calls out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Classic words. Have you prayed that prayer? Yeah, many times, I hope. Lord, save me. And Jesus pulls him up. No fear again. In fear, Jesus encourages him to take a risk. And so there are three ways I think we need to take a risk. Number one, take a risk in believing and relying on God, even though circumstances seem desperate. That's the first way in which God calls us to hop out of the boat. Take the risk of believing and relying on God, even though the circumstances seem desperate. Trust in God. Worship God in the dark times. God is there with you. We say this again and again, but let me just pick out this verse. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why? Because you are close beside me. Psalm 23, the New Living Translation. I will not be afraid when I walk through even the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me. In Psalms, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And so we will not fear, the psalmist says, when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge, Psalm 46. But it says, we will not be afraid. Can you say that with me? We will not be afraid. Some of you are a little fearful to stand out, so let's say it again. We will not be afraid. Old and New Testament, that is the motto of God's people in difficult times. We will not. Let the waters roar and the mountains fall into the sea, but we will not be afraid. And that's how the church must be in this culture. Whatever happens with the economy, let it happen. As if we could do anything about it. But we will not be afraid. And so Peter walked on water, then became afraid again. He sunk and comes up. And Peter, in worship of Jesus Christ, steps out of the boat and walks in faith. And then, so we need to believe in our faith, step out, even when circumstances seem difficult. We need to remind ourselves it's about faith. As it says in the New Testament, we walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in God. And when we do, we know God is always with us. Secondly, we need to take the risk of loving, even when we've been hurt. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to love one another, even when circumstances are that we have been hurt. And it seems risky. So what's our natural inclination? To close in, to protect ourselves, to go into a shell. And yet, again and again, Scripture says, hey, you've got to open up. You've got to forgive. You've got to keep on going. You know, Peter, was it Peter that one of the disciples said, yeah, forgiveness, yeah, that's a good thing, Jesus, but, you know, it has its limits. 7 times is my policy, you know. That's a lot of forgiveness. 7 times, Jesus says, well, multiply by 70 and you'll be closer to where what I have in mind. 70 times 7. There's a band by that name, isn't there, somewhere? Yeah. Maybe that's where it comes from. So take the risk of loving. 1 John chapter 4 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. And so when we step out in faith, loving one another, it drives out the fear of being hurt again. And we're able to love again. I read from the book by Sean and Leanne Tui last week. And I don't have my copy, but we ordered more, and we've got copies on the back table because we sold out after the first service. It's called In a Heartbeat, and it's about sharing stewardship, their life of stewardship. They're the family, by the way, if you weren't here. They're featured in the movie The Blind Side, and they took in this young high schooler, Michael Ower. They took him in to their family and gave him a couch and meals, and then eventually gave him a room. They adopted him. And he is now, they consider him part of their family, their son. And even though, I mean, he's like 6'3" or 6'4" and over 300 pounds, plays offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens now. And he is financially set and doesn't really need their help anymore. In fact, when the movie came out and he signed his contract, he bought a car for the other two kids, Collins and SJ, bought him a brand new car. So he's set, and yet he says, I still need a family. You know, he's above 18. He could be emancipated and in foster care. He's aged out, they call it, I think, when you're aged out. But like so many, he says, I still need a family. And so they took him in to their home through high school and college and tutored him and worked with him. And they gave him a tremendous investment in time. And why did they do that? Well, because they felt, as followers of Jesus Christ, they're called to love, even when it seems difficult, even when the love that's required seems far more than what we can give. Jonah was sent by God to be God's emissary of love to a very unlovable people, the Ninevites, the city of Nineveh. And so what did Jonah do? He said, God, and thanks for the great love that you have for me and the love that I have for people outside of my little family and my church, I'll go. That's not what Jonah did. He said, no, I'm going to play it safe. And he ran the other direction and ran away from God. And you know the story. He's on a boat. And it turns out that's not a very safe place at all. There's a big storm. And not only is he about to go down, the whole crew is about to go down. And so very nobly he says, well, throw me overboard. Yeah, I'm the one who's the problem. So how safe is Jonah now? He's in the ocean. Well, then God sends a rescue, a fish, this giant great fish. And the fish swallows him. So how safe is he now? Jonah took the route of safety. And so maybe this is why some people say the safest place is to walk with God. And the most dangerous place in the world is to run away from God. And that's what Jonah found out. And so here he's in the belly of the fish. And these are his words in Jonah chapter 2. And Jonah says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. This is while he was in the fish. said, I prayed to you. And those who cling to worthless idols, he said, forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. Finally, Jonah is safe when he's in the center of the will of God. But he says these curious words. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Whose idols is he talking about? Did the people of Nineveh, is that their problem? I don't think Jonah was even thinking about Nineveh then. I think he was thinking of his idols. And the idol, what became an idol for Jonah becomes an idol for us. The desire for safety. Giving in to the temptation of, I'll take the low risk route. I'll take the no faith route. I'll go on just what I see. When God is saying, don't go by just what you see, but what I've promised. Put your faith in me. And how often do we, when by clinging to worthless idols like safety and security, forfeit the grace that could be ours? Well, Jonah gets spit out onto the dry land, and he develops a love for the people of Nineveh. And God, who already loves them, speaks through Jonah. And many people come to love and faith in God through Jonah's work. And so though our natural inclination is to play it safe, we need to step out in faith, and we need to step out in love. And there's a third way. We need to take the risk of giving, even when we have lost ground financially and it seems risky. We need to take the risk of giving. Do you want to be confident? Do you want to be fearless in your approach to money? Or do you want to walk around worried about how you're going to pay bills, fearful of all that you may lose if you can't make it? Psalm chapter 112, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. And then it says these words, the one that God blesses, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous. They are compassionate. They are righteous. In other words, they're stepping out in faith, in their giving, in their compassionate love, in their faith. And it says, God comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. So he's talking about in the workplace, those who lend, and even though it's a little risky, and those who conduct their business in a fair way. Don't you wish the banks would do that? Right now, loosen up a little bit, lend money. And now, of course, they went way overboard before, and that's why we're in this financial mess that we're in. So that's not the way to go. But there is the need to take some risks. And our economy would be in much better shape if banks would take the money that they're hanging on to and hoarding it secure, taking the safe route, and would loan. And if we conduct our business in such a way as to take risks, take reasonable risks, we'll be better off. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. And then it says, those who are righteous, they don't fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to take care of them. They're confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Isn't that what you want? And so God says, give generously, even when it seems like the time to hold back, to hunker down, to play it safe. But God says, give generously to those who are in need. So good stewardship, which we're talking about in the last few Sundays and the coming, is not just about giving money. It's the way we work. It's the way we conduct our business. We pursue our careers. And certainly it's also about how we share money with those who are in need. It's about our giving. Did you know our church has a part in planting a church in Santa Rosa? That right now as we speak, we're planting a church in Santa Rosa. And I'll bet that sends shockwaves to some. Whoa, who approved that? But we're doing it. And I'll tell you how. I ran into Watson Vakalutukali. You know Watashoni? He's the associate pastor of the Bethel Fijian Church that meets here on Sundays at 1 o'clock in our sanctuary. and we rent to them. And so we've been blessed by them, and he was telling me they've really been blessed by us. This is when I ran into Watson at Pete's after talking to you, Dean. And so Watson sits down, and we're sharing a cup of coffee, and he's telling me what all is going on in their life. And he was so excited because he was telling me about the church that meets here. They only started 5 years ago in Novato, and then recently, was it about a year ago, they started meeting here. And they are so appreciative that we've opened up our doors to them. And Ted, they just love how Ted has been hospitable to them. And our facilities commission and our session has opened up the doors to them. And we're working things out. Sometimes it's difficult, and it would be easier not to do it. But we're working out the difficulties. And so, anyway, they've been meeting here. And now, but still, a lot of their people come here from Santa Rosa. And a lot of Fijians are moving into Santa Rosa, and they gravitate toward the field of caregiving, as you probably know. And so a lot of them are in homes. And I didn't even ask them, how are finances going for you and for your church? And it didn't even come up, but he was telling me, since they have so many in Santa Rosa, they decided to hold some meetings in Santa Rosa, and they brought in a guest pastor, and they invited everybody they could find, and they had sort of what they call revival-type meetings. And people came, 40 people came to these meetings, and they said, that's a lot. We're going to start a church. Just like that. They said, we're starting a church. And he said, Pastor Dave, tell your people you made it possible by partnering with them and providing a place for them to worship. You have a part in planting this church in Santa Rosa. And I thought, whoa, what a rebuke. We're so worried, and we play it so safe, and we're worried financially. And I did ask him, I said, how can you afford to, how are things going? You know, where's the money question? How can you afford to do this? He said, God will provide. God has called us. And you know, that's not the end of their vision. That's not the end of their vision. Watson has been taking trips over to England. He's taken 3 or 4 of them now, and he's taking more because the British troops, to add people to the army, are recruiting heavily in Fiji. And so they're bringing people over to Great Britain. It used to be a British colony, and they're connected with India. And so they brought all these people. Great Britain is bringing people over, Fijians, to be in the troops, and they're finding that there is a great need for these Fijians. A lot of them are Christians, but then they're coming over to this Western culture, and they're kind of falling from faith. And so they want to start a ministry in Great Britain. And they will send missionaries over to Great Britain, and we have a part in that too. And I think of Jesus who said to Peter, how can you have such little faith when these people who have so little, now immensely more than they had back in the Fijian islands, but they have so little compared to what we have, and they're stepping out so strongly in faith. And I thought, we've got to, with Peter, jump out of the boat, step onto the water, step out in faith, believing God, trusting God, step out in love, loving even when it's difficult, and step out in our giving. And so that's what we're talking about here, is our stewardship and our giving. We need to repent of giving in to the temptation to play it safe. Take the first steps of faith.